Joseph M. Ashley, a doctor of rehabilitation and nationally recognized industry leader who is blind, brings a personal commitment and over 30 years of leadership in developing services and creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support their choice to live, work, and thrive in their communities.
Hello, and welcome to The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Today, we're going to talk about making your vote count. With the upcoming election, we thought we would dive into the process for people who are blind and have low vision in going to the polls or finding other ways to cast their ballots. We are excited today to have Colleen Miller with us. She's the Executive Director of the Disability Law Center of Virginia, which is the designated agency for the Protection and Advocacy Center here in the Commonwealth. Colleen comes to us in Virginia with a great background. She worked with the Department of Justice both as a staff attorney and later as a senior trial litigator at the Department of Justice as what then became the Disability Rights Section. So that prepared her well for her advocacy role here in Virginia. So very excited to have her here to talk with us today about making your vote count. Colleen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here to talk about this very important topic. This is, as you know, a very critical election year for so many different reasons, and it's very important that everybody, particularly people with disabilities, get out to vote.
Yes, I agree with you on that, and I think it's going to be a great discussion. You know, I see voting as a fundamental right and responsibility, and I think our listeners should be thinking about how they are going to get themselves to the polls or take advantage of the absentee voting system so that they're prepared to make their vote count. But one of the things we like to do here on the podcast is, can you tell us about your journey to your current position and you know, what drives you in this position?
I'd be happy to. Let me first of all tell you a little bit about the Disability Law Center of Virginia. As you mentioned, we are the state's protection and advocacy system for people with disabilities. So there's one of us in every state in the country and in several territories as well. We're a creature of federal law, but we've also been recognized by state law to be the state's agency to protect and advocate for people with disabilities. We're statewide. We are a nonprofit. We work with legal rights issues that affect all kinds of disabilities, not just people with vision impairment or blindness, but people with cognitive disabilities, physical disabilities, communication disabilities, any disability that has a legally protected right. And then we can provide information services to people. We can help you figure out the next best place to go and direct representation to some people on specific issues. I did come to Virginia, as you mentioned, from New Mexico, where I worked for the sister agency in New Mexico. I was the litigation director or legal services director there and started out my life at the Department of Justice, working on institutional rights conditions. I worked in a section that was called the Special Litigation Section. And there we were concerned with conditions of confinement for people, particularly people with disabilities, in psychiatric facilities, in what at that time was called mental retardation centers, nursing homes, a variety of different institutions. When the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, I moved over to the section that was just trying to figure out what the new law was going to mean, develop the regulations, and try to initiate a little bit of litigation to get that going. So I've been doing something approximating disability rights work for about 40 years now.
That's a lot of time.
It is.
It's a lot of time.
It is.
And it sounds like what the Disability Law Center, for those of us with disabilities, I would sort of characterize that you got our back.
You have got that right. That is correct.
I think that's just an excellent strategy to have somebody out there looking out for you.
That's right.
Because it's truly important work that your group does, and I just want to commend you for that and thank you for that.
Sure.
One of the things then, I know that you and some other folks got together as a part of a process to help create the opportunity for people who are blind and low vision to do absentee voting. Could you tell us a little background on how that happened, and then we'll walk through the process?
Well, let me take you back, way, way back to the beginning of COVID, which now seems like such a very long time ago. But in 2020, in the spring and summer of 2020, as you remember, we were learning how to manage that pandemic. And one of the very serious measures that we needed to take was distancing, was social distancing. This was going to be a problem for the election, the very important election that was happening in 2020. And so the Commonwealth of Virginia decided to make mail-in ballots a lot more available to people. But if you were somebody with a what they refer to as a print disability, with a vision impairment or some other kind of disability, and you had this notion that you wanted to vote independently without assistance, it was going to be very difficult to vote with a mail-in ballot. We were approached by a number of blind voters who were concerned about their ability to participate in the election independently and privately. In the summer, in June and July of 2020, we began discussions with the Department of Elections at that time. We were really lucky to be joined by both the American Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind, which I think is unusual that both organizations work together on something like this.
I think it is. It's there are some things that come together on, and those are the things that are extremely important, which I think this was an excellent example of that.
Yes, and we were really happy to work with both organizations. We had some great law firms that we were working with at that time, including Shepard Mullen and Brown, Goldstein & Levy, and the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. This was an effort that was going on in a couple of different states, so we were not unique in the country, but we were one of the first.
I think that was an excellent move. I think you all ended up with some legislation that passed this.
Well, the first thing that we got was what's called a preliminary injunction, where the court ordered the Board of Elections to make absentee balloting, mail-in balloting, accessible to people with print disabilities. And we were fortunate to get that prior to the 2020 election in the fall. When it came time for the primaries in 2021, which in Virginia were also very important, it was the primaries leading up to our gubernatorial election, we got an agreement from the Department of Elections to continue to make this accessible ballot available to people with print disabilities. But then by July of 2021, the legislature had passed a code requirement to have this available. And our lawsuit was effectively resolved for all time.
So through this work, this advocacy work that your organization, along with some others, did, we ended up with the ability to do an absentee ballot independently here in Virginia.
And the way it works, as I understand it, is that you may request this ballot. You contact your registrar's office and say that you need an accommodation. They should reach back to you to see what accommodation you need, and you request that a ballot be sent to you by email. That ballot can then be read and filled in by your screen reader. You do have to then print it and mail it back in, but you can complete it independently and just return it.
Okay, so you start with the registrar, and then you get an email ballot after you've requested it. The screen reader reads it, you print it, you probably sign it, I'm guessing.
Originally, when this accommodation was made available, you did have to sign the envelope. But I think that requirement has been removed now.
Okay. So it's a fairly simple process
then
to go through to be able to vote this way.
There are some states that would allow you to return that ballot electronically, but Virginia is not there yet.
So we mail it back to the registrar.
Right.
Okay. I think that's an excellent solution. I've done this myself, and since it's only every 4 years, it's hard to remember, so I have to remember every time I want to vote and go back and walk through the process. So this is very helpful for me. There are other options for people who might want to take advantage of voting. Some people walk in and do it themselves. And do you have any recommendations for folks who are thinking about that process?
There are a number of other kinds of accommodations that are available to people with disabilities. At each polling place, there should be a polling station that is accessible to someone who is using screen reader technology. However, we have found when we've gone statewide to survey these polling places that the local polling place frequently has that machine off in a corner somewhere. They haven't assembled it.
Yeah.
And you then have to stand there and wait while they figure out how to turn it all on. And you've got this line of people piling up behind you of people who want to vote.
So, a little bit of pressure behind
you. Yeah, a little bit. So yeah. We do recommend that if you want to vote on site using an accessible machine, that you contact your registrar in advance. Let them know what polling place you will be going to so that they can help the local polling volunteers. Many of them are volunteers. Help them set that equipment up and have it ready for you when you get there.
So just out of courtesy, if nothing else, and expediency, to let them know means they may have things ready for you, and they probably would have it tested versus waiting. Waiting to test to see if it's going
to
work.
To see if it's actually going to work. And, you know, it's probably not technology that every place uses, or certainly not technology that every place knows how to use.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be understanding of our friends who are volunteering at these polling places and give them a little bit of a heads up.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been in a polling place where they got it out for the first time, so we sort of walked through it, but it was an election where there were not a lot of people behind me, so
right.
It wasn't too bad. But
I think that this November is likely to be a very busy election.
I think it's going to be, yes. Yeah.
So there's some other accommodations that are available to people as well. One is that you may actually, first of all, you can ask for somebody at the polling place to assist you if you want to. Or you can bring your own person to assist you in the polling place if that is something you would prefer to do. And the polling places, again, are required to allow you to have assistance. But because it's kind of an unusual thing, that's another thing where we recommend that you give the registrar a call in advance and say, this is what I'm planning to do. People with disabilities may also vote in the method that's called curbside voting, where you can remain in your vehicle and the election officials will bring the ballot out to you. It's a little more time consuming because they have to come out and collect your identification, go back into the building, get the ballot and bring it out. But that is available to people over the age of 65 and now available to any disability.
Is that one you would let them know in advance you're planning on doing, do you think?
I think curbside voting is pretty popular in most locations. So I don't think that you really need to give a polling place advance notice that that's what you're planning to do.
They're pretty familiar with that.
Yeah, we've been surveying polling places all across the Commonwealth, particularly to see how well they do with curbside voting. And there's still a couple of jurisdictions that are not doing it very well. But for the most part, the polling locations in Virginia are pretty good at the curbside voting.
Okay. Well, it sounds like people have a lot of options to think about before they go. And I think coming up with a plan on which one works the best that each person is familiar with or comfortable with, a really good strategy. I also like what you mentioned about making sure that when you're thinking about the poll workers, these folks, mostly volunteers, we need to give them a little credit for being there at the polls and be very helpful to them by notifying in advance. It just seems to be a respectful thing to do of everybody's time, including your own, actually.
So the poll workers in most locations are there for the entire day. They have to get there several hours before the polling place opens and have to remain until the last person votes and all of those ballots are secured and moved along. So their day can start at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they are often there until 8 or 9 at night, sometimes later. It's a long day. I think those of us that wait until after work to go to vote, we are probably catching those poll workers at their most fatigued. So I would recommend that if you are going to need a little extra assistance, try to go at a lower utilization time, the middle of the day, middle of the morning, or at least try to get there early in the morning when they're not quite as exhausted.
That's good advice, I think. I have been there when it's just been almost overwhelming in there for these folks because there's so many people.
That's right. I think that we can anticipate long lines at the polling place, but there is much more availability of early voting for all voters these days. So that does help alleviate some of the pressure on Election Day. Many people take advantage of the early voting.
So by early voting, you mean you go to like one of the sites, I believe in Henrico, it's out at the government center?
That's right. It's going to be a different location for every polling place, but early voting starts this Friday, starts on September 20th. And it is typically at your registrar's office. Some jurisdictions have some other locations. One place to find out where your early voting could be is on the Board of Elections website. So that is vote.elections.virginia.gov. And that website is just loaded with information that you would need, where your local polling place is, where early voting is. There's information on how to get accessibility assistance during the voting. It's really a wonderful website.
You want to repeat the website for folks?
Sure. So it's vote, V-O-T-E, dot elections, plural, dot virginia.gov.
Yeah, that sounds like excellent advice. And taking advantage of the early voting, I think, is also a good way to go so that if, when you need individual attention or you've got some things that are very special about how you vote, then you've got the opportunity to have people in front of you that are aware of what you need.
There's an entire link on how to use the online ballot marketing tool with screen reader technology. So if you get onto that website, you'll see that there is a link for accessibility assistance. And when you get to that, there will be specific information on using screen reader technology for your absentee ballot.
That does sound like a very useful website.
I wanted to let you know also that we have voting information on our website, and we're also available to assist if you're encountering any kind of problems. So there are some jurisdictions that, you know, still struggle with implementing the curbside voting that may not really have a strong interest in having the screen reader technology available to you. And if you encounter any of that, we really want you to let us know as soon as possible.
So how would that work for somebody who may have encountered something?
There's a couple of ways that you can let us know. You can call us at our toll-free number, which is 800-552-3962. Or you can get onto our website, and there's a space where you can click on something called Get Help. And there's a form that you can fill out there that's available to you then, you know, weekends and evenings when we may not be available to answer the phone. Our website is dlcv.org. That's Disability Law Center of Virginia, dlcv.org.
That's nice and short.
Yep.
Easy to remember. So if I'm an individual who is at the poll and they are encountering problems, is that, I guess, calling would be the best? Or do you try to anticipate this in advance if you're calling and saying, I'm coming, and they're saying, well, we don't do that?
If you give them notice that you need assistance and they say, we don't do that, absolutely, you need to call us right away.
Okay.
And we can often resolve things with just a simple phone call. If it's the day of the election and you are encountering those problems, we do have people available that day to answer the phone. And if it's early enough in the day, we can often get those problems resolved very quickly with just a call to the registrar's office.
And it may not be we don't do that. It may be we don't know how to do that, too.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
I'm sure that's more the response one would get. Or we're having trouble learning how to do that.
That's
right. Also something. Are there any other major points or points about voting that you would like to bring up?
Sure. I'd love to remind people about the various deadlines that we have. So as I said, early voting starts this Friday, starts September 20th, and it is available 5 days a week up until we get a little bit closer to the election. And then the local registrars are open on Saturday, October 26th, and on Saturday, November 2nd, if you want to do early voting, in-person voting. The deadline to register to vote, if you have not registered yet, or if you've changed your location, your address, the deadline to make those changes is October 15th.
So there's still some opportunity for people to register and to find out where your polling place is. You can go to the votevirginia.gov thing you mentioned earlier.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Also, if you are somebody who would like an absentee ballot, the deadline to request that is October 25th. I would recommend that if you are planning to do this ballot using the screen reader technology, that you don't wait till the last minute. We haven't heard a lot of complaints about the process. Mostly what we have heard are just questions about how it works. But it is a somewhat rarely used accommodation. And I think that if your jurisdiction has not used it with somebody before, you should encounter some questions, some confusion. I would leave enough time prior to that deadline to make sure that you can actually get that ballot.
Okay. I think that's good advice to say. If you're going to try something a little different, it's always good to do it early because you've got to learn it yourself.
That's right. That's right. And your registrar has to receive your ballot by Election Day, by November 5th. So if you've got any kind of nervousness about the postal system or anything like that, it's better to do this process earlier to make sure that your ballot is actually received on time.
I wonder if you did the online ballot, if you could drop it in the box if you had a friend.
That's a great suggestion. Yes, many registrars do have drop boxes, or you can take it to the location where the early voting is, to your registrar's office.
So by doing that, then you would know that it's in their hands, so to speak.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And then, of course, Election Day is November 5th, and polls are open until 7 o'clock. Anybody who is in line at 7 o'clock gets to vote. So make sure that you are there. As I say, especially if you're going to need an accommodation, I would recommend that you try to go at one of the lower volume times of the day.
Well, those sounds like the major timeline events that you need to be aware of as you're getting ready to vote.
That's right. Can I just add one more thing?
Please
is
do.
That you do have to provide identification
when
you vote. And Virginia law has been made a little bit more friendly in that regard in the last few years, is that if you happen to not have identification, you can sign an affidavit swearing that you are who you are. Or you can cast what is called a provisional ballot. And with the provisional ballot, it's a regular ballot, but it gives you time to go home and find your wallet and come back. And if you come back by the end of the day, then your ballot will be cast.
Okay. I didn't realize you could do the either one of those. That's,
yes. Yep.
That's good information to have as well. You're on a roll. Is that all of
Well, just vote. This is a critical election. The rights of people with disabilities will absolutely be implicated by the outcome of this election. And so we encourage people to vote regardless of where your political leanings are. It's important that the voices of people with disabilities are heard in this election. So please do vote.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, that just to be sure that our voices are counted, you've got to get out and vote. And I hope people are able to make that happen for them. Well, Colleen, this has been a great discussion, and I really appreciate your time today.
I am really grateful to be here, and thank you for the wonderful work that you do and that Virginia Voice does, and it's a great service to people with disabilities throughout Virginia.
Well, thank you for that. Do you have any other information you'd like to give us on the Disability Law Center?
We are available to provide information and referral services 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you call, you can ask to speak to an advocate on duty. And if you're facing an issue where we can actually provide legal representation to you, we will take the information that we need to assess that. But if it's just a question that maybe we know a little bit about, but we're not taking those cases, we will tell you who knows more than we do and give you some better resources for it. But 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, our website has got amazing information on it. We have got some of the best resources in the country on how to apply for Social Security and various stages that you may encounter in that application process. And so those great resources are on our website. That's dlcv.org. There's a lot of information about transition from high school to college, transition from high school to employment, and the different issues that people can encounter there. Assistive technology services that are available, just about anything you can think of. You can find some information about it on our website. There's so much information
that
there that
really
sometimes
good.
It's hard to navigate.
Yeah.
So, really don't give up. If there's something you're looking for, just keep fishing for it.
I think the assistive technology resources in particular are things people aren't quite as aware of as useful. And the transition from school to post-secondary opportunities is also critical. I'm glad to hear that you've got those great resources available.
There are a number of things that people don't really think about as your family member is aging out of the age of minority. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents believe, for example, that they've got to get guardianship over their child with a disability. And there are many, many other tools that are available to families to help a young person with a disability to navigate decisions without going for a guardianship. You'll find those tools on our website as well.
That's good information. I think I'm going to go spend some time on your website.
There you go. There you go.
I'm interested in that. Colleen, one more time, if you'll tell people how to get in contact with you or the Disability Law Center and the vote.gov website so they would have that information as they are.
Absolutely. So our website is dlcv.org, Disability Law Center of Virginia, dlcv.org. Our toll-free number is 800-552-3962. 800-552-3962. And the elections website is vote.elections.virginia.gov. And if you get onto that website, there will be a link for what's called voter information that will tell you your own local registrar, the phone number, how to contact them. So if you don't know how to contact the registrar in your area, the statewide elections website can help you figure that out.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for your time today, and we do appreciate your coming on the Blind Experience podcast.
And Joe, don't forget to vote.
Yes, indeed.